Welcome back to Elevate. We are so excited today. This is February and we're talking about relationships. We have none other than the only Jasmine Fuller, also known as Minister Jasmine Fuller with us. Yes. Thank you so much for being here.
It's an honor to be here. I'm super excited.
I'm super excited to talk about this topic that I feel like I know nothing about.
Really? No, yeah, like so, relationships are my jam.
Yes.
I love the month of February because everyone's so open to just talking about stuff that we normally just don't talk about. So I'm super excited.
Absolutely. And you are also an expert in this topic. Not only are you a wife, but you are a counselor. So I want to read your bio officially and we're going to jump into some good questions. Yes, we're going to help some people today.
Yes.
Including myself.
Amen. Amen.
So Jasmine is a certified Christian counselor and licensed minister of the gospel. She's happily married for 7 years to worship artist Matthew Fuller. Shout out there to hubby. She earned her master's degree in human services counseling, marriage and family therapy, currently completing her doctoral program.
Yes, pray for me.
Let's go.
Pray for me.
Let's go, doctorates. Yes, you got this. And community care and counseling, marriage and family therapy. Yes. She is dedicated to advancing God's kingdom through strengthening families, serves as the family and life director at Embassy City Church. Shout out to Embassy and Apostle Brian Meadows.
Shout out to my apostle.
Yes. And she believes whoever owns the family owns the future. I love that there. Focuses work on building strong families through counseling, mentorship, and education.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about you just reading that. I didn't even know certain things. I love that. So I guess just starting off, what was your journey like in pursuing your degree in marriage and family therapy? Or what sparked that interest?
Yes. So I would actually say it really wasn't until I actually joined a local church that I found my burden, if you will. And I think that's why I encourage people to really get planted somewhere. Because, you know, if you take an ear and you put it on the table, you would never know it has the capacity to hear. It's only when you connect it to something that you realize, oh, this is how this functions. This is how it can be used. And so that's my story. I literally, when I got connected to my first, I call it my first real church in Jacksonville under Prophetess Tanya Hall at Victory Way Christian Center. It was there that I literally saw God healing families in altar moments, you know, miraculous moments where, you know, a mother's reconciled to her daughter, where, you know, prayers of salvation over children were coming to pass. And I began to recognize that that was something that I wanted to be a facilitator of. And so it was literally in the church that I found my burden. And I would say I was like 21, maybe, when that actually like started becoming a thing. And then I'm like, wait, I can really make something of this.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
And then you talked about like those altar moments, and I'm thinking about one of my favorite places in the church, but after the behind the scenes one is being on the altar, because I feel like so much that's the real work happens.
Yeah.
Like there where families are being restored and people are being healed from so much trauma.
Yeah.
So that being like your defining moment, I think that's absolutely incredible.
Yes, and altars are missing from the family. That's a major aspect of why we see so many problems. And everyone thinks that the problems in the family are natural.
Yeah.
Poverty, racism, economic, you know, oppression.
Yeah.
But it's really spiritual problems that we're dealing with. And the natural problems are just symptomatic.
That's so good.
Of the spiritual realm. You know what I'm saying? And so
good.
People try to tackle those problems. And it's like, this is why the family is still not where we want to see it. You know what I'm saying? And if we can get to the spiritual, beginning with altars, beginning with being able to say, like, my home actually belongs to the Lord.
That's so good.
And he is Lord over my life. We don't just go to church.
That's right.
We are the church. And
the
church is exuded from each individual within the family.
Yes.
And then we model that for other families and then our community. Now everyone's being drawn to this altar, this place where titles don't matter.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Where nothing matters, but we're looking to Jesus. I think that's so important.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then the altar is really that intimate place. It's the place where you can be your most vulnerable. You can be transparent. You can let it all out.
Yes.
Literally. I mean, like, it comes out, right? Like, come out, right? You know?
Definitely.
So I love that you talked about that. And I don't think we really integrate the two. Like, like when we think about Absolutely. Family and we think about the altar, we tend to see that as two separate sort of things.
Yeah.
Not two that comes together.
No, absolutely. People, even if you do think of altars, normally you think of it in an individual space.
Yeah.
But through the Bible, especially in Genesis, it's my favorite book of the Bible.
Yes.
Shout out to your daughter for the amazing name as well.
Yeah, Genesis.
But all through Genesis, we see the establishing of altars.
That's good.
But by who? Fathers.
That part.
That's the part.
That part.
That's the part. By fathers.
Wow.
You don't see the wife establishing an altar. You don't see children establishing altars until they are fathers in most cases.
That's so
or even
good.
As individuals they were, but they were literally setting monuments
yeah.
that modeled their faith, defining moments
yes.
that people could come back to and say, look at what the Lord has done.
Oh my goodness.
And if that is missing from the family, what are we modeling?
Wow.
You know what I mean? Who are we looking
yes.
to?
No, you know, that's so powerful, Minister Fuller, because, you know, reading the Bible,
yeah.
I don't know for how many years, right, but never sat and really thought. And for me, I grew up without a father. So I'm
yeah.
thinking maybe that part for me didn't
yeah.
even stand out.
Yeah.
But wondering if you can speak to, like, the importance of the father in the family.
Yes, and I'm gonna draw it back to first the husband, because before you become
yes.
a father, you become a husband.
Yes.
And I think that what we forget is the fall of mankind was really an attack on the family.
That's right.
Family is so important to God, and the enemy, if you guys notice, he spoke to who? The wife.
That's right.
Because there's an order to the family. If anyone should have eaten the apple or the fruit,
right.
it should have been Adam who
That's
led
right.
his family into sin.
That's right.
Not the wife who made that decision, but you can tell that there was already something that was beginning to get out of whack or balance
wow.
for the fact that Eve partook, and then she gave to her husband.
That's right.
He had no partaking in the decision making. And this is what happens
wow.
when husbands get out of alignment.
That's good, Jasmine.
When husbands
that right
get
there,
out of alignment.
You can rewind that part. You said Adam had no part in the decision making of eating that fruit.
He followed. He didn't
wow.
lead, he followed her.
Wow.
He followed her. And what happened was the humanity began to get out of whack. The family began to get out of whack.
Yeah.
And what most people don't realize is that attacks on the family have become so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
For example, feminism.
Yeah.
Feminism is really the curse that God gave to Adam and Eve for their sin coming into manifestation, because there's a part people skip over, and it says that a woman will have a desire for her husband.
Yes.
And I toiled with that scripture because I'm like, I don't understand what that means. But what the Holy Spirit showed me was that what she's really desiring is his position.
Wow.
So that
wow.
that fall.
I just got goosebumps. Let me just.
Listen, I'm telling you. The Holy
goosebumps.
Spirit downloads it to me.
Come
I'm
on.
Like,
download this.
God, why are you like this? This is so good.
Wow.
But and that's what the enemy wanted. He wanted there to always be a power struggle. So you
wow.
see that feminism is all about what? Women getting equal rights and opportunities. Well, if they're equal, then that means they're equal in position.
That's
because
right.
position determines your rights. Position determines
wow.
what opportunities become available to you. So feminism is a way that the enemy has crept in to make women have that desire bubble up in them so much that the family can't get back in order.
Oh my goodness.
And this is why wives are leading more men than men are leading their wives.
Wow. Wow.
So when we talk about the family, it's already out of whack. And God does things in what?
Order.
Decency and order.
That's right.
So in most cases, we don't see the hand of the Lord on families anymore because they're already out of whack.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of Christian women in general, because first of all, I don't want to be a leader leading a family, number one.
Right.
I would rather be the damsel in distress.
You better ask my husband.
Let me tell you.
I'd be like, I can't.
It's too heavy.
I can't.
My back, I just can't do it. What you think? No, you lead, please. I don't want to have to. But, you know, society places this really heavy burden on women. And I think it's very unique to Black women, a woman of color. It's like you're a strong woman. You can do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell my daughter and every other person on this earth, no, I can't do everything a man does.
Right.
And neither do I want that burden, because our bodies were not made to bear it. Amen. And that's a whole nother thing. I might get stoned after this talk. My social work colleagues and other people might be calling me and DMing me like, what's wrong with you, Ms. Moore? And I really don't care.
But what you're basically alluding to is we're equal in person. I think that's what everybody's really trying to get to. We're not saying women are lesser people than men. But what we are saying is that we're not equal in responsibility or function.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Even the physical makeup.
Yeah.
Of a man. I mean, like, hello, like I can't do what you do. And I think that's why a lot of women are overworking themselves. They're dying at higher rates, getting fibroids, breast cancer, and so many other things because they're picking up. And some women may feel like they have to do it to provide for their families.
Yeah.
But it's such an imbalance.
Yeah.
And it's causing sickness and in many cases death.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You see the woman definitely being tired. And I think that, again, it stems from one of the things that plagues the family is ignorance, because families are being started without us knowing their purpose. You know what I'm saying? And so now we have a child.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're drawn together because we feel this sense of shared responsibility.
Sure.
But our relationship was never in God's perfect, acceptable, or goodwill for us.
Yeah.
So now we have to try to fight through, you know what I'm saying, being on another path and hoping they eventually diverge when this is why we carry that weight.
Yeah,
because everything is done without us really delving into what God created it to be.
That's
because
so
family was the first thing instituted by God. It's not not just a procreation type thing. You know what I mean? That science will make it where we're just just multiplying. No, this was an institution and kingdom or family is a kingdom tool used to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. And so who you do it with matters.
Absolutely.
Who you do it with really matters.
You know, that's so good. I'm thinking about two thoughts, but I'm going to go with the first. And that's the fact that, you know, we're talking about Christianity and kingdom.
Yeah.
And people are probably, some people that are listening are probably like, what in the world are they talking about? but I think just to also just bringing us to, you know, outside of the church.
Yeah.
The family structure has been so broken down. And in fact, our society, it perpetrates this breaking down of families. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you know about certain laws with welfare and how if the man was in the home, a lot of these benefits would these women wouldn't have access to.
Right.
So in a sense, you were rewarded for not for being married.
Yeah, for being a single mother, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so even our laws, it really does support the breaking down of families.
Yes.
So this is such a huge issue. It's macro.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what could churches do to start helping to restore the family unit?
Yeah, I think first teaching the foundations of the family, the origins, really teaching what it means to be first a physical family, a natural family, but also a spiritual family.
Yeah,
because isn't it funny that there's two things that you can say that are true for everybody?
Yeah,
no one was born without a family.
That's right.
Right, like we all originate from somewhere. Right,
yeah.
We all had a mom and a dad at some point. Right,
at some
even
point.
If they're not physically present.
Sure.
And then two, no matter how introverted or extroverted you are, you cannot escape people.
Yeah. That's right. You have to deal with people on this earth.
So
that's right.
The church has to foster more community.
That's good.
More community connection points. And this is why I love what me and my husband get to do at Embassy City, because family is a concept that that is painful for most people.
Mm.
I do not hear hardly say, I come from a family where I felt completely protected, respected, seen.
Wow.
You rarely ever hear people gloat about their family.
Yeah.
I came from one of those, though.
Wow.
So when I think of family, I smile every time because my family means they're my heart. I know if anyone has got my back, it's them.
Yes.
And so even getting married, it was really hard separating. My husband will tell you, he's like, y'all got something weird going on.
I need you to get off that phone.
He's like, you just saw them. You're on the phone with them. So there was a real, season I had to go through of really like separating from my family to create my own family.
Right.
But it's one of those things where churches need to foster community. We can't just go to church together.
That's
we
so good.
We can't just go to church together. We can't just hear the word together, but we have to do life together.
Mm.
We really have to disciple people outside of, you know, shouting and worship and the word. We have to let that word marinate to the point where we really do. Like, I see you outside of church and I'm not cussing.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking. That's right. I'm praying over you when you call me and you tell me what your husband may have done or what your child is going through. Like, we really connect on something deeper than just the physical church building.
That's so good. And what happens when we do that? And I know in your role right now, you're director of the family, a minister at Embassy City. And you're, by the way, you and your husband are doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much.
I have been so drawn to your work, to what you all do. And I'm just like, every time what I respect and love, and I'll tell this to anyone, is you, when you see one, you see the other.
Yes.
And that is very inspiring because you want to be able to do ministry or be, you know, together with your husband, especially in a church and not have to be separated doing it, you know? So I love the fact that you guys are always together and you are a united front, no matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
You never know it.
Yeah.
Might have been like, you shut up. No, you're not.
Literally. Right in the car. We may argue right before we get in there, but when we get in there, we're going to do what we got to do.
That's right. No, I love it. And it's, and it really is, that in itself is an encouragement to so many people. So in your role, you're doing incredible work right now. If you don't mind talking a little bit about that. And then what's your vision for restoring families?
Yeah. So in our role, really, we are over basically everyone in the church falls under our department. So we are over our women's ministry, men's ministry, our young adults, our pillars, which we call the more seasoned saints. And then we have our men's ministry. I don't know if I just said that already. And our singles ministry.
Yes. Single, what about our student department ministry?
So they're technically not a part of our department, but they are, of course, because children are in the family. So, of course, we try to incorporate as many, you know, events where we can have, you know, the children as well. And coming this year, especially in 2024, you're going to see a lot more of family, you know, events where the children are, where we want to involve them more so that they're able to see more. But I definitely think the vision for the family for me is a family that evangelizes. We just had a meeting with our department and we told them that's the theme for this year, a family that evangelizes. Like, I want a marriage that draws people to Christ, that speaks volumes of his goodness, that speaks to the miracles he can perform. Like, for example, people always look at my husband and I now and they're like, man, we love you guys. Y'all get along so well. And we're like, hammer, hammer, hammer. Because there was a time where that was not our ministry.
Really?
Yeah. We were toxic.
Wow.
Toxic with a capital T.
What a capital
T. We were toxic. And it was really immaturity that had to grow out of us.
Sure.
Right? And God took us through a fast track. When I tell you a fast track, in like 3 years, my family and I actually have this running joke that my mom would say, man, when we celebrate an anniversary, she says, man, isn't it y'all's like 50th anniversary? Because she's like, y'all have gone through more than what most couples your age have gone through. And some couples who are older than you have never gone through.
Wow.
But I realized that God allowed us to go through a lot of those valleys because we were going to have to serve families. And we some experience to be able to speak to different aspects of the family.
Wow.
And so what actually looked like our downfall became our ministry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That if you can speak a little to what that toxicity looks like that other families or marriages might be facing right now, but might be embarrassed or ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe speak into some strategies or technologies spiritually that could help them.
Yeah. I will say that especially immaturity is a very big one. And immaturity really stems from not knowing your purpose and your own identity before you connect with someone. Okay. Because if you don't know, and a lot of people start with knowing their purpose, but they don't realize that you can't know your purpose without knowing your identity.
Yes.
It's super important because your we teach this in our mentorship. When you know your identity and you know your purpose, it helps you sustain your environment.
That's
anything
so good.
Outside of its environment becomes high maintenance. Think about
it. Wow.
A fish, if it's in water, you don't have to tell a fish to swim.
That's right.
From the minute it's born, it knows what to do in its environment, right?
That's
it knows
right.
how to function. Take a fish out of water. Now we have to try to make all these contraptions and mechanisms to try to keep that fish alive.
Wow.
That's high maintenance. And that's what most of us are because we have not solidified our identities first.
Yes.
Because in the creation, Adam wasn't made before the environment. The environment was made before Adam.
Adam. That's right.
Eden was made for Adam. Adam was made for Eden. So when
he got
there, he already learned how to function. He learned how to be a workman of the ground naturally. It wasn't work. until after the fall.
Right.
Right. So it's right. like we have to, and I think this is why, like, everything, like I said, it kind of goes back to everything is so out of order that when people come together mm-hmm. as families,
sure.
they already don't know where they are.
Wow.
Where they are, right? So, like, where's mm-hmm. our starting point? Where's our ending point? Yeah. What are we actually chasing? And so that immaturity continues to breed unless you catch it. And this yeah. is why ignorance, the Bible, listen, there's so many things going on in this world, right? There's yeah. there's literally systemic racism. There's yes. people murdering each other. But God yes. does not say that's why his people perish.
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Yes.
The fact that you want to stay ignorant.
Yeah.
When there are so many ways that I'm trying to build and teach you something different. Wow. You want to stay ignorant. It'll kill you sooner than any drug will.
Wow.
Your ignorance.
Your ignorance.
Your ignorance. It's literally killing you. Mm-hmm. The fact that you have not learned what a core value is. You don't know your core values.
That's
you don't,
so good.
You don't even know that your family should stand on those things. Mm. Then you connect with someone who's the complete opposite. Now yes. you're equally yoked. Now you think,
that's
that,
good.
You think that you're just dealing with a man who right. doesn't love you or can't treat you right. No, he doesn't have integrity.
Wow.
He doesn't have honor. He doesn't even know what that is. Yeah. He never healed from his trauma from with his mother.
That's so good.
You know what I'm saying? And things of that nature, you bring that together. Mm-mm-mm. And then you wonder why it looks a mess. Sis, it is a mess.
Wow.
And this is what my husband and I literally have spent time. We counsel couples and we can tell them over and over again. It's your foundation. You can try to solve the way y'all talk to each other.
Yeah.
You can try to solve all the extra stuff. But when we look at it, we're like, you're only putting a Band-Aid over cracks that are eventually going to tear the whole house down.
Wow. That right there.
That eventually tear their whole house down. Mm. And because we have, you know, a generation of people who are immature, if we do not, again, teach them at the level that they're able to, you know, withstand
Understand.
And grow them up, especially, and I feel like this is a major responsibility of the church
yeah.
as well, to grow, to equip and grow the believer to the point where they can truly assess a thing. Because if yeah. we mimic God, after everything he made, he said, this is good.
This is good. Ooh, that's good.
And if we don't teach them to be able to assess that this is good,
yeah.
you end up in a marriage and you look and you say, this is bad.
Oh no, please.
You say this is bad.
Wow.
But you can't juxtapose it to anything because you don't know what the goodness of God looks like.
Wow. Wow. I'm just taking a few Selah moments for myself.
Amen.
That was good.
Amen.
And you talked about immaturity. I feel like a lot of people may not even know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about core values and that being something that should be the foundation.
Yeah.
And I think so many people are coming from broken families
yeah, absolutely.
Where they don't know what a core value even looks like.
Right.
Let alone know who they are.
Right.
Some people are still dealing with rejection. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's you talked about it being spiritual. And I believe that mm-hmm. even people that may have been a product of their parents not wanting them or one of the other parents rejecting them or abandoning them, or perhaps not even wanting to have them,
mm-hmm.
that can essentially turn out to be something that they struggle with. Like, why am I here? Why am I on earth? What's
yes.
my purpose?
Yes.
What am I doing here? And then you bring that into merging with another person mm-hmm. when that person hasn't even figured out their own identity
yep.
and are still dealing with rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put that together, you know, I understand that
yeah.
mess.
That mess.
That you talked
yeah,
about, right?
It's a mess.
I don't
yeah.
know what a core value is.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing on this earth.
Yes.
What am I here for? You know, parents didn't want me. My dad left me, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important, that healing aspect of
yeah.
helping a person to heal and mm-hmm. to understand who they are and to be whole before connecting to another person.
Yeah, and I would even challenge that, because a lot of people do think you have to be whole before you connect, and I don't think
right.
it's as much as a wholeness as it is, my husband and I call it like the 5-point inspection before you
I
get
like
on
that.
The road of marriage.
5-point inspection.
Yeah, because when you get on that road, there's going to be some things, right?
Oh,
there's no question there's going to be some things, but I would never take a long road trip without inspecting my car.
Oof.
Right? I'm
going to
make sure I check the oil.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that my gas is all good.
Yes.
I'm going to look at those tires.
Yes.
And this is what premarital counseling, this is why we encourage people to get things like this, because
yeah.
it's a 5-point inspection.
Right.
I fear any couple who avoids getting checked out before they get on the road of marriage.
Wow.
Because, and I don't want to be in the car. I don't want to be a passenger of any type with y'all.
I want to crash.
Right, because you, them tires been bald for a year, sis.
Yeah.
And we're going to get out here on some slippery terrain. And,
wow.
And the crash is inevitable. The crash is inevitable, literally. So
wow.
it's the 5-point inspection. And my husband makes this good point because when he talks, he's like, you know, back to the point of wholeness.
Yes.
When you do the initial inspection and you get on the road trip, that's not to say you'll never have an oil change again.
Right.
This is why I say you may not be fully
that's
whole.
That's good.
But when you get that's out on really the road, good. You want to make sure you're not low.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with old things.
Ooh, that's good.
You're not dealing with old things that you've reached at least a level place.
Sure.
Where those things that may have hurt you are at least no longer an influence to how you act.
That's good.
That's what the real goal is before you get out. You don't have to be completely over it.
Wow.
But what you do want to ensure is that it no longer has the ability to influence how you treat them, how you see yourself, how you treat your children, what your core values are.
Yes.
You have to ensure that they weren't infiltrated or contaminated with things that you were never meant to carry.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You helping me.
Listen,
I'm like, why I do my 5-point inspection?
Listen,
like, is it too late to do my 5-point?
You'll appreciate it. And when my husband and I, when we went through premarital counseling, it was not good. Hands down, it was not good. And I think had we had someone who truly, in a sense, and they still gave us great nuggets and knowledge, but we didn't deal with the stuff. We didn't deal with the really hard things that we were kind of skimming over.
Sure.
And that is a main area that families have to resolve.
Yeah.
We don't, especially families of minority, we don't like to talk about it.
Wow.
And that muzzle that has been on our mouths has continued to perpetuate generational curses, molestation, abuse, physical, you know what I'm saying? Physical, verbal, all of that, because we have stayed silent for too long about things we have experienced. Yeah. We don't want to have freedom and being able to bring that at the feet of Jesus and say, God, I don't want this no more. Like, I legit don't want to carry it anymore.
Yeah.
Help me.
That is a point that I believe that is a point of intervention where the Lord can actually come in and do the work.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about that sense of silence that a lot of us carry.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's too painful to even say
of course,
to think about. So it's easier to avoid it and to push it to the back of your mind. And so many people are dealing with that.
Yeah.
You think about trauma. If you don't deal with trauma, it stays.
Yeah.
It doesn't go. It doesn't go away. It doesn't matter if you're 60, 70 years old. If you have not confronted it, if you have not dealt with it, that trauma is still existing in your body and in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like what you said, that silence part, breaking that silence.
Yeah.
But it's so much, it's so difficult to get to that point.
Yeah.
For many people.
And you know, I think of it like physical therapy, though.
Yeah.
When something's in pain, you don't just say time heals all wounds, because time, it depends on the type of wound.
That's good.
If I shoot you in your chest,
that's right.
Time is of the essence.
Absolutely. Ooh, that's good.
You may bleed out.
That's good.
In time, while we wait in time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Time does not heal all wounds. Some things have to be patched immediately.
That's
Some
right.
Some things have to be dealt with immediately.
Ooh, that's good.
But what
good.
We've done as a Black community, especially in our families, is we've taken all kinds of stab wounds, gunshot wounds, metaphorically speaking, and we say, let time just erase that.
Wow.
No, you could lose a limb letting time pass by after you've been hit with, you know, a true banger of a you know, bullet.
Wow.
And so the goal has to be that we encourage people to tackle the hard things. It's going to be painful.
Yeah.
But I would much rather deal with the pain of the process.
Oh, that's good.
Than deal with the pain of having diseased, deformed, and dead things attached to me. Because that's more painful.
Absolutely. You know, it's so good. I'm just taking it all in, honestly.
Yes.
But I do have, like,
it's
two questions.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through my process. I'm listening.
Yes.
This is good. I'm being fed. This is incredible. You mean, so much wisdom coming from you. You know, you can tell this is your call, your passion, and it's so necessary.
Yeah.
So I am so grateful that you're in this space, that you're doing this work.
Yes.
And I'm hoping and praying that it expands, you know, outside of Atlanta to other states and so forth, because it's so crucial. I'm thinking about marriage and how so many people are, just the marriage institution being that very important, pivotal institution that sometimes I think we sometimes covet, but we don't understand the work behind it.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you can speak to a single woman out there over here, beep, beep,
yes.
who are on that road and may not even know, mm-hmm. you know, what it takes. Mm-hmm. What type of advice can you provide to us? And then after that, I have two other questions.
Okay. Yes. There. Amen. Yeah. For single women, I would definitely say, one, make sure that you are not buying the ticket to the selfish life.
Ooh.
If you desire to be married, yes. you are setting yourself up for failure if you say only worry about your stuff.
Wow.
Because marriage then throws you into a perpetuation of sacrifice and of giving of yourself.
Wow.
So you will begin to instantly struggle because you've taught yourself
yeah.
that I matter first.
Mm.
And when you get in marriage, you don't matter first.
Yes.
You serve.
Ooh,
and
that's
so
good.
if you literally, there was a group I saw called Selfish Singles. And I said,
That ain't that group. That ain't the right group.
Right. You don't. By all means. But yeah. if you even think about it biblically, that's not even sound. Because
right.
even if you're single, you're called to serve.
That's right.
So that's not something that we should. So don't buy that yeah. ticket. Don't yes. get on that bus.
Get off
don't
the get selfish
on
the,
get off, right.
Get bus.
Off, get off that selfish
get off.
Bus. And then a lot of people don't realize that you can get premarital education.
Wow.
And counseling before
yeah.
you even go down that road.
Yes.
Find out about you.
Like,
yeah. find out the only selfish part that you should have, if anything, is
yeah.
learning yourself through the
yes.
lens of God. So
ooh,
that way
good.
You know what your purpose is.
Yeah.
Because when you know what your purpose is, you can then establish a vision.
Yeah.
When I have a vision, vision simplifies my life because it basically tells me what to do. Anything
yes.
that does not perpetuate that vision coming to pass
yeah.
is a no.
That's good.
Anything that does is a yes.
Yes.
So then when I meet Mr. Wonderful,
uh-huh.
I hope. I have something to compare him to.
Mm.
Does he match where God told me I was going before he even got here? Because
wow.
many people think that when the man gets here, now my vision shifts.
Mm.
No, it doesn't. What God gave me to do long before Matthew became my husband is mm-hmm. still what God called me to do.
That's
but
so
now,
good.
I have a partner in it.
Yeah.
Right? And he expanded my vision.
That's
to
so good.
To include what Matthew's called to do.
Yes.
And then what we're called to do together.
That's
but my
so
individual
good.
Vision didn't change.
Wow. That is powerful.
It did not change.
Wow.
I still have to. There's a counseling business that I'm starting this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I'm excited to be able to do
yes.
it with my husband. So he partners with me in
yes.
my own purpose.
I
partner
love it.
With him in his purpose.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have stuff that we're called to do together, like our marriage mentorship and our identified mentorship and things of that nature. But
wow.
We don't lose the individuality. We tell couples all the time, when you get married,
yeah.
and don't do that unity candle thing out
right.
of ignorance. Because,
uh-huh.
you know, when people stand up there, they take their candles,
yeah.
they light the middle one, and then
right.
they blow out their individual candles to
right.
to assimilate the unity that you now have.
Yeah.
But why would you blow out your own candle? Are you not still an individual?
Mm.
Did God take that from you to make you into one?
Wow.
No, the two become one.
Yeah.
The two are still one.
Mm.
But it takes two. If I blow
yes.
out my candles, one of us is unnecessary. Because basically
ooh,
what we're saying
good.
Is we're the same.
Yeah.
No. No.
Wow.
So even in your singleness, yeah, learn yourself so that you know exactly what you're called to do, what your vision is. You measure that against those who come into your life. And you'll
yeah.
know. You'll never have to ask God, God, is he the one? Because God will be like, you have the map right here.
Right there.
You have the map
yeah.
right here. Does he fit is the question. Or are you having to adjust every single thing I already told you to do
wow.
to make this person fit?
That is so good. You just helped 5 years of my life.
Listen, I lucked up because luckily Matthew was a man of God before I met him.
Praise God, right?
Because had he been like, you know, a real one,
yeah.
he could have came and shook things up. But luckily
yes.
he was a man of God who knew who he was. I was the one who didn't know who I was.
Wow.
I was the one who didn't know who I was when I met him. I was just
wow.
in the beginning stages of finding out who I was.
Yeah.
And this is what you don't want because
mm-hmm.
then you really have to rely on God to help you
yeah.
bridge those gaps. But you're already now responsible for a whole husband, a whole family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it makes it 10 times harder to do when you're already giving of yourself in so many different areas
yeah.
versus when you had the time when it was just you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that vision piece so much. It really stands out to me.
Yeah.
I have my marriage vision. I think I need to pull it out.
Yeah. Yes, pull it
after
out.
This is
tape it in a visible place.
Yes.
Because it should be something that you look at often.
Yeah.
And even when you get married, have a vision. Matthew and I have a vision statement. What is our marriage called to do?
That's incredible.
Because when you get off center, where are you looking?
That's right.
You have to look somewhere, right? And if that's we already so good. Said it, like our marriage is meant to advance the kingdom of God, and like I put in my bio, through these mechanisms, worship, counseling, all this kind of stuff, then we know exactly where we're headed, and there's no confusion.
Yeah.
There's no confusion.
Oh, my goodness, Jasmine. You, I'm telling you, you are helping so many people right now.
I hope so.
You have no idea.
I'm trying to cut the time that I had to spend doing this stuff.
Oh, you cut some years. Yeah. You cut some years. Yeah. And, you know, just that vision piece and even setting it for your marriage and your family. Yeah. And I don't know how many people have done that.
Yeah.
But encouraging married couples to even go back and start praying together and setting the vision for their marriage.
Yes. Because there has to be something. When people tell me they want to get married, I say, why? And I wait for them to give me the 7,000 reasons. And they're always like, because we love each other. And because I'm like, that's great, but why?
Yeah.
And eventually they get to the point of what I'm asking, because you're going before God to tell him that he should spiritually mesh you guys together in such a way that I cannot separate the two of you as a whole any longer.
Wow.
So in order for God being the good God that he is, you know what I'm saying? He's counting this and he's saying, okay, so what is so important about the two of you coming together that I should do that? Knowing that if it doesn't work, to pull you apart, you're going to lose pieces of yourself and he'll lose pieces of himself. He'll never quite be who I created him to be in the same manner of atomic structure.
Yeah. Wow.
So if we look at it that way, we realize that when we say we want to get married, what problem are you and that person called to solve? What is so important about you two coming together, creating a family, staying with each other for the rest of your lives, that you would want to enmesh yourself in such that way?
Wow.
That's a major thing. And if we continue to allow culture to disregard marriage like it's a contract.
Yes, absolutely.
And not a covenant.
Yes.
This is how we end up having all these broken people.
That's what we're seeing so much of. Yeah. It is a dishonor, disregard for marriage. And it's happening not just in the world, happening a lot in the church as well. But, you know, this has been so, so enlightening for me. I'm going to listen to this over and over. I'm going to take my little journal out.
Listen, the journal, I know it. I have one. Yes, the journal.
Take my notes because... This has helped me, and I'm like, where were you 5 years ago?
I need to check. I'm here now, sis, and I got you.
Yes. I know. I appreciate your ministry.
Yes.
What you bring, and I think it is, it's breaking curses.
Yeah.
It's reimagining our family. It's restoring the family unit back to what God had originally intended.
Yes.
For it
family, to be. Family's not weak.
Absolutely.
Family's not weak. It's a place of power. Yes. We just haven't known it that way because the narrative has always been one created out of a sin nature. Mm. But when we really, if we really focus on rebuilding the family, like I said, whoever owns the family owns the future.
Owns the future.
Because it's families that start movements. When you get a family involved in something, there's absolute movement. Not just individuals, families. When you get the family united in a purpose and a cause.
Yeah.
But see, that starts with the reason why you come together. Because how can my kids know where we're going if I don't even know why me and my husband got together?
Wow.
So even in our family, when we have kids and we want four, pray for us.
I say that now.
Come
on, four.
I say that now.
So, you got this.
But
four.
I want to perpetuate that vision to my kids.
Yes.
And they can creatively decide how they will perpetuate it.
Yes.
But I need them to know from the minute they're born what we stand on.
Wow.
And we stand on the solid rock.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Just like what would this world, how would our children and our lives change if people were born into the world and knew why they were born?
I knew why they were born.
I mean, that is that right there will solve half of the trauma.
Yeah.
That exists.
And I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, so I want to be obedient.
Yes.
I want to repent to children.
Yes.
For the mistakes of their parents.
Yes.
Because some of your parents, they really did not know.
Mm.
the magnitude of what they were doing.
Yes.
They really did not understand how special you were to them and how special you were to the world, that you were really designed and knit for them specifically. And they mishandled you, and they mishandled the moments that were defining who you were.
Yes.
And I want to repent for that.
Yes.
But I also want to encourage you that you, nothing you've been through will be wasted.
Yes.
That some of those mishandlings were orchestrated to make you into more.
Yes.
So that there would be a ministry that comes from you, because you know what it's like to be rejected.
Yes.
You know what it's like to have to arise from pain.
Yes.
You know what it's like to be lost and not know your purpose.
Yes.
But the great thing is that God is a restorer. He knows the plans he has for you.
Yes.
And so even though your parents may not have been physically present, or may not have been the parents that you wanted, there is such healing in accepting God, who promises to be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless.
Yes. That right there, that is so powerful. That is so powerful right there. And whenever we talk about whatever I deal with trauma, talk about trauma, most of it comes from childhood.
Yeah.
From the way that we have been interacted with by our parents, the way we have been handled by them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that right there is, you know, definitely, that's the Lord right there.
Yeah,
and that is the Lord.
And let me tell you, I trauma is such a buzzword because people have gone to counseling, and this is what counselors have continued to tell people. Oh, you have trauma.
Yeah.
Don't claim that. Mm-hmm. Some of us just have bad memories.
Yeah.
Bad reference points.
That's true.
But trauma is something that has lasting impact.
Meaning
that when you think of that thing, or when you're triggered by something that reminds you of that thing, to this day, it makes you shift in the same manner it did when
it first happened. That's right.
Many of us don't have that.
Yeah.
We just have bad memories. We just have conversations we didn't deal with.
That's good.
And so they linger. They're lingering because they're unresolved.
Wow.
Not because you have trauma.
Yes.
You need to have a conversation.
That's good.
We're
that
old
is
enough
so
now.
Good.
Maybe when you were 12, you couldn't have that conversation. But you're, honey, you're 30.
Yes.
Go talk to your mama.
Yes.
And tell her that one time she didn't get the cake that you wanted for your birthday really, really did something to you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It really, it really set a tone for your expectation for all your previous or all your
former next birthdays.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Some of it is just really, we just have to get comfortable with having hard conversations.
Wow.
Stop claiming trauma.
That's
because when you claim it, it really does give the devil a foothold, because then he's like, okay, well, I'm going to continue to make you feel the intensity of that thing until now it's anger. Now you got a root of bitterness.
Mm.
But it really didn't come from trauma. It's just a bad, it was just a bad experience.
Mm.
Not a traumatic experience, just a bad one.
Yeah.
An unfavorable one.
Yeah.
One that just didn't make you feel the best.
Mm. That's good. So we got to evaluate, y'all. Are we calling things that are not trauma trauma when it's really just a bad memory
or a
bad reference point? And we definitely need to go to counseling to find out which one it is. Because, yes, a lot of people are self-diagnosing.
Yes. Yes.
And are calling things that are
And every counselor cannot be trusted. And I want to say because people think that because
we're
in a culture now that is embracing, go to counseling, that every counselor is a God, you know, a Holy Spirit-led counselor.
No.
That's not true.
No,
and you really have to, just like you go to doctors, I will tell a doctor,
research.
No, you're not my doctor.
Yeah.
I'll go there if I feel like they're rushing me, they're not listening to me, you're not my doctor.
That's right.
If you're just trying to give me a diagnosis. And so you can't go into the counseling room feeling like you have no power.
That's
you have
right.
to go in there knowing, like, I'm going to see if you're really the right fit.
That's right.
Do I feel that the Holy Spirit is talking through you, moving through you? Or do I just
feel
like I'm just a check? Because in reality, for most counselors, you are.
That's right.
You are. You're a for sure paycheck
That's
when you
right.
come in there.
That's
I
right.
I can give you as many sessions as I need, because why? That perpetuates my paycheck.
That's so true.
So you can't forget that
it's
a
very
business.
True.
It's a business.
Yeah.
And so you have to still find those people. And this is why I feel so called to start my counseling business this year, because they've become a number. You know what I'm saying? They become a number, but we're really not trying to help people. We're actually trying to keep them sick so they keep coming.
That's
and
right.
So counseling has to come back into, you know, the fear of God, where people are counseling, even prophetically, where,
That's
you
good.
Know, sis, you didn't tell me that you had, you know, a rape or molestation, but the Holy Spirit did.
Yeah.
And you came in here about, you know, conflict resolution, but you don't realize that you're always in conflict because you're treating everybody like the person who raped you.
That's good. That's good.
You know what I mean? And some of that takes, because not everybody comes into counseling ready to pour.
Yeah.
Some people are very like stonewall. You know Absolutely. What I mean? They have walls because they've had to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And so the counselor has to kind of poke and prod and until they find it. Most counselors will tell you they don't have time for that.
Yeah. That's you only get this one treatment.
Right. I do because I got the Holy Spirit.
That's
and
right.
And I'm going to see more than what I see in the physical.
Yes.
I'm looking at you with spiritual eyes
yes.
to try to determine, okay, what's really going on here? What's yes. really in her heart? Because out of, yeah. you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
I can hear you where you are spiritually from yeah. how you speak or how you don't speak.
Right.
It's, I'm telling you. It,
That's when incredible. When
counselors get back to, I think, really the guiding that we were called to do.
Yeah.
Under the supervision of the wonderful counselor.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think we'll see more people not just going to counseling, but coming yeah. out delivered and healed.
That's right. And I'm so glad you spoke on that part with the counseling piece and making sure you're discerning, you're researching. Because a lot of people have had bad experiences
yeah.
with counselors who have not been the right fit.
Yep.
Who have told them things that have been outside of their faith, outside of their morals, their core values, and so forth. So
yeah.
definitely researching.
Definitely.
Don't just pick up anybody, y'all. There are options out there.
There are options.
Jasmine Fuller is about to be one for y'all. So absolutely. And someone that's invested in your healing
mm-hmm.
and not in your issues.
Yeah.
Because that is what we don't see more of. So
yeah, absolutely.
I am so happy that you're yeah. doing this. I'm excited. Yes. Must be like, I might need to be on Jasmine's sofa.
Yeah. I would love to have
counseling.
You.
Yes.
I'd love to have you.
So, you know, we're coming to a close, but this has mm-hmm. been incredible.
Yes.
I've learned so much in this one sitting.
Yes.
I'm telling you, things I wish I would have known years ago that have helped me that I'm going to take now to some self-reflection. And I know those that are listening and watching are in that same space.
Yeah.
Like just reflecting and thinking, yeah. wow, I need to really get these things together, get these things in order.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you can share with us your handles, how could people reach you, follow you,
yes.
or just connect with you?
Yes, so you can definitely reach me at Jasmine_Chantel_, and it's Jasmine, and then my middle name, Chantel, Chantelle, with another underscore to follow. That is my Instagram handle, and on Facebook, I am just Jasmine Chantel Fuller, so... easy enough. If you'd like to join our Identify Mentorship Group, because listen, I don't just talk about problems. I believe in being a solution.
Yes.
So we have an Identify Mentorship Program that is geared towards helping people first learn to identify themselves, because your identity is directly tied to what you have access to.
Yes.
And so we're actually running a special right now for $100. You can join our mentorship program. And hopefully you can join the next cohort, because yes. we're currently in one. It started January 10th,
yes.
so I'm super excited. They're doing really well, but you can definitely join our next cohort. We'd love to have you. And then if you're married, look for our marriage mentorship.
Yes.
We're beginning our mentorship soon, and I'm super excited about that.
Yes.
And it's going to be like a marriage, we're called the marriage tutors. And so basically,
I love that.
Yes, couples are going to be able
that.
To.
Come on, marriage tutors.
I love the concept. I love the concept, because we, you know, just like in school, when you struggle with the subject, you got
yes,
a tutor, right?
That's
your
right.
got your tutor. We want to perpetuate that same kind of, help,
yes.
where if you're struggling in your marriage, you can literally pick from our roster of subjects. So if it's communication.
Wow.
Intimacy, you
That's
pick
incredible.
Whichever subjects you want, and
yes.
then we go into tutoring you to better yourself, to earn the A. To
wow.
earn the A. And so I'm super excited to have that.
I'm
come
excited.
Out. So it's gonna be so great.
That's so dynamic. No, I'm I'm like, oh my goodness. Talking
yes.
about like restructuring and just starting to put the right structures in place to support families and marriages. This is incredible.
Yes. Yes.
So please, y'all, follow Jasmine Chantel Fuller.
Yes.
You want to be tutored, educated, poured into, and all of the above. Please follow her, connect with her. I'm a mentee myself. So, hey, y'all.
Yes.
Yes, I'm excited. So, I, you know, again, Thank you so much for being here.
It was an absolute honor. And I prophesy over the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I receive.
I never want you to think, you and your team, that what you guys gather to do is irrelevant.
Yes.
These are conversations that listeners will hear and be set free in a moment.
Yes,
from the things that are going forth over the airways. And so I just bless you, woman of God.
Thank you.
And I thank you for your yes. And I thank you for what you're doing here. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to cover her. You continue to lead and guide her content in the name of Jesus. And I just pray that, Father, it would reach every listener that you ordained it for so that lives can be transformed and changed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. I receive that. Yes. Thank you so much for blessing me, blessing us, and those that are watching.
Absolutely.
This has been absolutely inspiring.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you and your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening, for watching, for tuning in. Y'all, you gotta share this. Like, you have no choice. If you're listening to this right now, you must share this to at least one person that you care about.
Yes.
We are in the business of restoring families.
Yes.
We believe that families need to be restored, especially in this new year. So please share this message out. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for following us. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Thank you.
Bye.